And welcome into another installment of JC and Morgan. Sans JC. JC is on assignment, as we like to say. And we're on assignment with another installment of the show. By now, in year 11, if you've been following us, there is no off season. And one of the things we love about the off season is that we're not, quote unquote, bogged down with having to go through the week that was and look ahead to the week that is in college football. That prevents us from really getting guest heavy because there's so much we have to squeeze into a limited amount of time. But in the off season, we go heavy on the guest list. And we've got a couple of guys that are very good, let's just say friends of the family. And the legendary Tim Brando is just one of those, probably getting ready for a tea time somewhere later on today in the lovely state of Louisiana. Timmy B, how are you? It's been too long.
Actually, I'm wearing green, not because post-Masters, but post two golf rounds in the last 3 days, which means my tea time will be at Home Depot a little after 1 p.m. with my wife picking up some mulch that she needs dropped for her, you know, for her gardening in the front and on the pool deck. So, yes, this is what I do in the off season. I play golf, I chase grandchildren, which is a lot of fun. Yes. And then I go to Home Depot, pick up Miracle-Gro mulch and other forms of manure that probably are no interest to your viewers today.
But I think that's the
it's
first
great to be with you.
Yeah, always a pleasure. I think that's the first utilization of the word manure in the history of this podcast. So,
leave it to me to bring it up.
Yes, yes. No, it's and for those that are thinking, those that thought that Tim Brando was another bougie network play-by-play guy that has somebody else doing all this for him. No. You're getting down and dirty. You're doing the work.
I mow my own lawn. Yeah, I mow my own lawn. I'm very proud of that. Yeah.
See that? Still a man of the people. Still living in Louisiana. You're not on the coast. You're just, you know, you are true blue collar, Timmy B.
So I
want to start this with what major sport just transpired in its championships, and that is college basketball. And it's all going to relate to college football. You know, we talk probably 90% college football on this podcast year round, but I think there is a common thread, and I'm going to link what has happened here going back to late January and what just happened in early April. So in late January, we had another Big Ten team win a national championship, the third different one in college football. And we'll talk about the conferences and some of the trends there later. And then recently we had Michigan, a top 10 team, win a national championship in basketball. Tim, it's unavoidable everywhere I go, and I'm sure you experience the same when fans are talking to you about the sport. The word money comes up. We're past the point where we're talking about NCAA stuff and whether or not NIL is a good a thing or not. I don't care. It's not going anywhere, so that's fine. But I think what people are interested in is whatever school they're a fan of. Well, how do we compete? I had a high-ranking SEC administrator talk to me the other day. I've known for a while. He's been with a particular school for a few years now. And this is a school that's been successful the last few years in all three major sports, football, basketball, and baseball. So he's not crying because they're not winning at this particular SEC school. Quite the contrary. They're having great success. But he said, as he was looking at some of these NIL deals in basketball, because that's what we're going through now with the portal, he said, Mike, it's just simply not sustainable. Mm-hmm. And my comment to him was, I hear this all the time from school administrators and coaches even. It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. And Tim, every time I look at it, the numbers keep going up. So if it's not sustainable, you know, Indiana, for example, in football, $61 million in operating expenses. That was 13th best in the NCAA. Bama, A&M, Washington was third. Ohio State, Nebraska, Tennessee, Michigan, the usual suspects. Right. Their NIL budget was about 21.1. What Indiana will tell you is, well, our athletic department had $183 million in total revenue, even with all the NIL, and we had a $10.5 million surplus. Michigan, in their national championship run, spent $10 million, give or take. Yaxel Lindenberg, who could have gotten much more somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
He got about two. So, and this is significant. We'll be talking about this years from now, I believe, Tim. All five starters, if you noticed, portal. Every one of them. And they also had a top 20 recruiting class, but all five starters portal. So money. And that, as we're in another portal period for basketball, and pretty soon we'll be talking about player acquisition in football again. I just keep hearing two things. The money keeps going up, and then I keep hearing people say, but it's unsustainable. Where do you side in all this?
Well, I said even last year and before when they started NIL and portal that the doomsayers have to write about something and they have to talk about something. And that entire off season, this time now to the start of the football season, you're going to hear it again. It's not sustainable. It's horrible. It's the lack of loyalty, the this, the that. It's all bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. And yet your administrator is talking from, you know, a common sense viewpoint of that athletic administration that he looks and sees and says, my God, we've got to hit this 20.5 rev share and we're getting accruing this money to hit the rev share. But then I see what's going on with NIL and portal, and I'm like, it's unsustainable. Well, what's their answer to it? Okay. The answer to it is nothing other than, you know, these Pied Pipers that decide, well, let's listen to Nick and let's listen to Urban and other former coaches, and let's bring them all in and get a celebrity photo op in D.C. with the president, and where he does more talking than they do for about an hour, and we come away with really nothing accomplished, okay, other than an executive order, which, by the way, I'm happy that President Trump, okay, I'm happy that President Trump is interested in sports. Oh, okay. I'm
breaking out a hat.
Yeah, I have one. I don't wear it, but I have one. It's in my study. It's in my office. I have all kinds of things in my office that would surprise a few people. But it does matter to me that the president cares about college athletics. It does. I mean, I'm a purist too. I'd like to see some of this that they're talking about being unsustainable being put in a position to be more sustained, okay? But until in such time we see someone step forward and lead without telling me they've got to get congressional help, without congressional help, what the hell are you talking about? Do you not watch Fox News or even MSNBC or CNN? I don't see any way Congress is going to be able to help with regard to any executive order that the president may come up with. It's nice to have it. I'm glad he's interested. But I'd say that there are a few more things going on in the world that are of greater interest that they still can't agree on until we get to that, okay? And the reason that they had this get together is in large measure political, because having both the Senate and the House controlled by the Republicans right now is something that may be, you know, not sustainable in the midterms that are coming up. And so if you do have control, I think the president would like to do something. Only way he's going to be able to do it is by having control of all three branches of government. And I don't know that he could even get all the Republicans in on this. Cruz and Tuberville are kind of leading the charge, but I don't see either one of those two as being guys that could reach across the aisle and get many, guys from blue states to come along with them in a nonpartisan way. So to me, forget all this stuff. The bottom line is the money's coming in for the rev share, largely from television, okay? The company you work for, the company I work for, we're in on this. We're partners. We were the ones that came up with the money so they could keep from going to court and get that $20.5 million, all right, to pay off that came about because of a huge loss, you know, that they had in court. So it's up to the schools themselves. Do you care or don't you care about athletics at your school? And those that care are going to continue to spend the money, and those that don't won't. All right. And they will fall by the wayside. That's what we're looking at, Mike. I mean, I hate to sound, I know it's not usual for Brando to sound pragmatic, but okay. I have to be pragmatic here and tell people, look, you can bitch and moan and whine all you want, but in the end, we go on the air and our ratings are through the roof. 30% ratings high, in college football. Almost a 40% ratings hike in basketball, which desperately needed it. Okay. That's college basketball was suffering until NIL and portal. Okay. It
Yeah.
was really beginning. The regular season was really suffering. And now our regular season ratings are even up in college basketball, which is really good to see. I don't know why we can't look at it from an optimistic view in that regard. The money is clearly there if the people there in power are interested in having success in athletics. And the presidents and the presidents of these schools and the deans of the different schools within the students that go to those particular schools, if they don't like it, too bad. Because if the presidents and the chancellors are all in and the governor of the state is all in, then they're going to continue to spend the money. I do think that, for instance, the private schools in the Big East in basketball, schools like Xavier, Butler, Marquette, they have to look in the mirror in the offseason and say, okay, if we want to compete at the Big East level, and those numbers for those schools that are basketball only, Mike, they're still, because of their TV contract, and now Fox doesn't have it all. They've got money coming in from NBC and Peacock. They got money coming in from Turner, and they've got Fox money coming in. So that television deal for those schools and the size of their athletic departments gives them a percentage to work with that would be right in line with football schools as well. But those Catholic schools, and listen, as a guilty Catholic, I will tell you, whether it's elementary or secondary, I've always found administrations at private Catholic schools to prefer to receive rather than to give. So they better understand that they need to give a little bit more if they want to sustain their programs within the Big East. Repo spending that money with St. John's, Seton Hall answered the bell. You see what Connecticut is able to bring in all the time. And those other schools, I think Patino had a great line. He told basically the Big East office that they need to implement a rule that says if you're not willing to put at least $10 million in NIL into your budget, then you don't need to be in the Big East anymore. You need to be in the Horizon League or what other conference out there that maybe you came from. Because the Big East is about big time. And if you're having a poor record, you're going to hurt Connecticut. You're going to hurt the other teams, St. John's, in terms of their opportunities to get higher seeds. That's what happened to St. John's. It drove down their seeding in the NCAA tournament because the strength of schedule within the conference wasn't as good.
Right.
And you saw Connecticut, looking, Danny wants to schedule games against Michigan and other teams, non-conference in February, so he can, do what did with Michigan last year, because the same thing happened in the ACC with the Cooper Flagg team. That's one of the reasons why they scheduled that game in DC at a neutral site in February against Michigan. So, even at those schools at the basketball-only level, I think there's some answering that some of those schools have to do in order to compete. But if you don't want to compete in the capitalist society that we are in, then your sports, your athletic department is going to slowly drip, 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 fade away. And that's the situation we find ourselves in. But the sky's not falling by any stretch. And the very people that get mad and scream bloody murder on these things, they're watching in record number.
Yeah, we get a couple quite a bit that chime in on this show about just how disgusted they are by it all, and this is all gonna lead to doom. And they don't like when I say this.
Oh, they hate it when I say what I just said.
Well, 100%. And they probably think we're just a couple of shills for the TV networks, but we're really not. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. They have these things called ratings, they have these things called ad revenue, and it's never been higher. The popularity of college football has never been higher. College basketball is on a major, major heater. It went through a down point.
At
It
the
was not
same
good.
time, the NBA as at the same time, the NBA is going in the tank. College
Well,
basketball's ratings.
exactly. And even Major League Baseball ratings, it's regionalized. A Braves fan doesn't spend any time watching Dodgers Mariners. They just don't
No.
care. So,
No.
but college football is universally on a given Saturday, even fans fans of one school still have an interest. Like, even you watch the tailgating, when you and I are walking up to a press box and going through the tailgaters, they have TVs with other games on that they're still interested in.
That is
such a beautiful thing. That is how the sport continues to grow and does well. By the way, in interest of fair time, Timmy B will be wearing a Michael Dukakis visor for a couple of minutes.
I didn't vote for him, but I did vote for Clinton in 92.
Yeah,
that's the last Democrat I voted for.
He
did a good job, too, by the way.
Say what you want about
Bill and his machinations away from the White House or in the White House, but he did a pretty damn good job. He did balance the budget, right, with Gingrich? He did.
Last time I checked, yes. God bless him. So let me tell you where the money all ties in as well, as we get back to the non-business of all of this, which we love talking about so much. We're in the midst of spring football, although that's kind of dying for a number of reasons. Coaches simply don't have the appetite for a competitive game. They'd rather just go past it. But the Big Ten, as I mentioned, is on a major heater right now.
Mm-hmm.
Three straight national champions in college football, all different schools. They just won a national championship in men's basketball. They just won a national championship in women's basketball. There's some other Olympic sports in there, too. A lot of people are going to look at this, Tim, and say, well, yeah, they got a ton of money. And some of the cynics, let's be honest, of the SEC, and a lot of this is just SEC hate. Some of it is maybe there's a little bit to it. But, oh, yeah, well, now the bag man, quote unquote, has been diffused because it's all on the up and up. And so the Big Ten now can say, hey, we're in the business of buying players, and look at what we can do when the money changes hands. Your thoughts on all of it? And where does this go? Because I can't see a world where the SEC is, forget about winning a national title, they haven't been in the game the last 3 years. It's hard to believe that trend would continue.
Yeah, well, you're right. And I think that right now we're noticing this, you know, this movement from SEC strength to Big Ten strength. But I would warn my friends in the Big Ten, of whom I have many, that it's not necessarily just about that as much as it is the talent wealth being spread out everywhere across the board in college football. That, you know, Cody Copeland's able to put together that incredible amount of money. And by the way, he's a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He's not some oil baron with bad ideas. Now I don't agree with his public denouncement of your mark with the Friday night game against Houston that he doesn't want to be played on the third week. I'll get to that in just a second because I want to answer your question. But he does suffer, I think, of the same provincialism that a lot of donors might suffer from. Okay. Mm. But when you see what Texas Tech did, when you understand that Indiana went from, you know, the losingest program in Division I college football history to a national championship within a 2-year period, and the foundation of that was bringing a bunch of 1AA/FCS players, like 40 plus from James Madison that had won titles, to be the foundation of your program. Look at what Cignetti was able to tap into and change the complexion of how you put together an organization and a program in college football. That should be, you know, a yellow, at the very least yellow, maybe red flag to all of the so-called blue bloods in college football. If this really pisses you off, Georgia or Bama or LSU, or over in the Big Ten, Michigan, Ohio State, over out west, if this pisses off USC, too damn bad. You're not as blue as you thought you were, okay? Mm-hmm. You're not, because these other schools now are able to prove how badly they want it. And this is where I think fan participation, this is where the fans need to understand. If your money people care that deeply, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. You should be proud of that. You know, you should be waving flags for all the donors, okay, that have come your way. All right, that have said, okay, we're going to keep this guy in Michigan, and we're going to, you know what, I don't care if it's Portnoy that's doing it or whoever else that wants to do it. We're going to pay this kid, keep him here so he doesn't go down to the SEC. Hey, that's a wonderful thing, but that doesn't mean the Big Ten is going to dominate the way the SEC did over a 12, 13 year span, like we saw in the late 90s, all the way through, say, 2014 or so, 2016, really. If you think about that domination, when at one point we had, and I was working at CBS at that time, you know, the SEC on CBS thing really kind of took over college football, both in viewership and in championships. Four national champions in a 7 year span that were from different teams, different schools. It wasn't just Bama. Now, Bama was the lead pony in this, you know, show horse situation, but it didn't keep Urban from winning two. It didn't keep LSU from winning one. And, you know, and other teams stepped up and won national championships. Auburn got one. So we were talking four teams in a 7 year span and a run of teams in the national championship that lasted all the way up until Auburn's loss to Florida State, you know, when Jameis Winston got that national title and broke the streak. That was what, 2013. So 13. we're talking about a different time in college football. And what's generated this national interest, Mike, is exactly what the fans that are bitching to you and bitching to me don't want to comprehend. What's fueled it is we don't know, and I can't tell you in June the top four teams in the country and be right on three of them every year. You know, back in those days, I could tell you the Rust Belt, the Sun Belt, that this is where the champion was coming from every stinking year. We can't do that anymore, and we can't because that talent pool has now been spread out all over the country, whether it's portal talent or recruiting talent. So that's what's made the, as long as the game is more competitive on a national level. And the 12-team format did not hurt the regular season. It enhanced the regular season. All the things I was talking about with regard to the playoff and that we needed to expand it, that everybody said would hurt, harm the game. It would ruin the regular. It's not done that at all. And this time a year ago or so, when Tony Petitti floated the idea of 24, do you remember the reaction? It was like, oh, my God, how dare he? My God. Well, now it's being discussed. Now it's really being discussed. There's a real thought process that maybe, you know what, maybe, yeah, because expansion of the playoff only enhances the interest. And 16, I think, is the perfect number. I'm not in a hurry
Me
to go
too.
To 24.
Yeah.
I'm not in a hurry to go to 24. But, Mike, I'm telling you, 24 may be down the road, even if it's not here now. The fact is, the opportunity to make more money, that's the deal. The presidents will listen anytime. These presidents and chancellors, they will listen anytime there's more moolah involved because they have an insatiable appetite for revenue. That's the one thing that will get their attention. But the bottom line is the games that I'm doing in late October and November that you may be doing in late October and November mean a hell of a lot more now
oh,
than
no
they
question.
Did when we only had four teams.
No, you know,
they mean
the
a lot more.
Yeah, and look, we've had people on this show that I respect that I vehemently disagreed with that were, oh, well, some of them were so out of left field that they said it's just not as good as it was with the BCS. And I'm like, are you insane?
Yeah.
And then others said, well, if you expand past four, it's going to be to the detriment of the sport. And clearly they've all been wrong. And to some of their credit, some of them have come out and admitted I was wrong. It's, you know, we all are wrong from time to time. It's okay to say that.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I'm going to hold firm on 16. I don't want to go to 24.
I got you.
That's just me.
I understand. But my point is, whether you like it or not, or whether I like
it
or not.
Oh, I know. Well, look.
The thought process that Petitti has, that Tony has, that was just admonished by so many people, you know, you watch how he handles things. He doesn't talk a lot. He's not accessible to the guys that we read every day. Okay, he's not gonna hold a press conference in the parking lot of a Walmart like Greg Sankey. Okay, he's not gonna do that. But over time, okay, some of what he has in mind that's progressive starts to the people that matter really start to listen, and they say, "Oh my God, there's another revenue stream." It's about creating. For him, it's about creating greater interest and more revenue streams. All right. I know I worked for the man for 9 years. And he was the guy that created, and by the way, he and I had missed some conversations about it. When I first went to CBS and he came in as executive producer to replace Terry Ewart, it was a Southern guy, Ole Miss grad. I was concerned because I remember he was an old ABC sports programmer, and I had just absolutely been critically panning the BCS from its very beginning. You remember all that.
Oh, yeah.
And he was the creator of it. He and Roy Kramer came up with that. So he's always been a college football guy. I mean, he's not some, you know, Northeastern Ivy League dude that only cares about money and doesn't care about – he loves college football. He, if he had had his way, Keith Jackson would have spent the remaining time of his career at CBS. He wanted to hire him at CBS before Vern got the job. He did. He made a significant run to get Keith to come. Keith chose not to. And then when Sean McDonough's contract was not renewed because we lost baseball at CBS, Vern was moved to the SEC, which extended his career, I think, by at
no
least
doubt.
10 years. But I think my point to you is you're listening to people and I'm listening to people where we live. We're both Southerners, and the people in the South are pissed. They are so pissed that they've lost their domination of the sport. And I get it. I understand it. But we were trying to tell you a few years ago that college football wasn't as big as you thought it was nationally. And now, Mike, you and I are talking about ratings. We're talking about greater revenues. And the dependence on television for them to hit that $20.5 million number at every school at the Division I, okay, FBS level, to get to that number for those conferences that agreed to that number in that settlement that they had, they need us. They need television. They're desperate to keep it and to keep growing from it. And fans don't like that. They hate hearing it. We move the time of the games every week. We'll move a day of a game, like the situation at Texas Tech. Do you realize, I tried to point this out, I was on Dan Dockage's show earlier this week, and I said, you know, Cody's a great guy. I love him, but he needs to take one for the team. Do you realize that Texas Tech, when you say you don't want to play on Friday, guess what you're going to be facing on Saturday for competition if you're on at 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central on Fox? You're facing LSU and Ole Miss in the SEC and countless other games that CBS and NBC have in the Big Ten with monstrous programs. And that's the other thing. The Blue Bloods still get the biggest numbers. Ohio State, Michigan, those teams are going to be on. And Texas Tech, even with their resurgence, okay, and even with their ranking, they'll get one-third the audience on a Saturday that they would get on a Friday.
Sure. There's
one-third.
You can get in an isolated window. The Egg Bowl figured this out years ago, playing on Thanksgiving with Ole Miss and Mississippi State. And then they kind of moved around to Friday, and now we're dancing around. We got a bunch of games that go on Thursday and Friday around Thanksgiving because schools figured it out. We're going to have such a bigger audience. And some people might say, yeah, Mike and Tim, but who cares about the ratings? Well, so much of this is brand recognition. And
sure,
if you want to talk about how that equals dollars, it does equal dollars and recruits, and dollars equals buying more players. It's all linked in together.
Sure is.
You want as many eyeballs as you can get, not because you're concerned about the TV executives at Fox or CBS or ESPN, but because it ultimately leads to more money for player acquisition. And that's what everybody is fighting right now. I will say one other thing on the 24 versus 16, and for those that have kind of been not following this in the midst of everything else, the two guys that run the sport, Sankey and Petitti, Sankey wants 16, Petitti wants 24. And much like Congress, we can't move. We're stuck in a 12-team quagmire unless those two ever agree on anything,
I think, and here's what's going to happen, Mike, and, you know, mark it down, put this in your archives because you might be bringing it back on your podcast with JC in the future, okay? For us to get past this impasse, all right, Tony's fine with 16. He just wants guarantees that 4 or 5 years in, we go to 24.
Right.
And if he can get that from Sankey, then we'll get to 16. And that isn't to say that you definitely go to 24 when it happens. You don't know. You know, we have to see what the viewer habits are. We have to understand what's going on. But I think in the world we live in today, in the here and now, those two guys do have to do something, okay, to come to grips with all this, because the other commissioners are waiting for their lead to take place. Sure. And those two need to do it. And you know what? I still believe that they talk a lot more than a lot of the media believes. I think a lot of them, and they throw little shots over the bow at one another just to spark some controversy. And I think they actually joke about it privately. I really do.
Yeah. Neither one of them's going to back down, and there's a mutual respect. Yeah. I don't think the gentleman that held that post at the Big Ten previously, I don't know if he had the same respect as Petiti does. Certainly.
He was an NFL guy. We all know that.
Right, right. Whereas Greg and Petiti look at each other, it's like two strong world leaders. Like, I respect you. We're not going to agree on everything, and we're going to go to battle on some stuff, but there is a mutual respect there. While we're talking about money, let me pay a few bills. We are powered by Advocare, advocare.com. You know, I take my Spark every morning. I recommend this. This is better than coffee. No sugar. If you're working out, you get the rehydrate. This would be good for you, Tim. You'd be on the golf course. Gatorade's got all that sugar. Get some rehydrate in you. And even if you want to stay healthy, your gut health.
Beautiful.
We all have
Beautiful.
To worry about gut health these days. Get some of this. This has got all that
like
kombucha.
That. Like
yeah. And it tastes good.
You came with props today.
I came with props today. You have hats. I have health products. We're all trying to improve society as only we can on this show. The calendar. Uh-huh. I was reading the last few days, and I've said this now for years. The week zero is going to become the new week one. There's more and more push to that. Right now, you need kind of a waiver.
We need to move it back. We need to move it back even further. We need to move it back two weeks further.
Well, I would be for that. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, you know, everything when it comes to this stuff moves at a glacial pace.
Yeah.
But I think at bare minimum, the week zero that we now see, which rarely has many good matchups, usually one or two that are watchable and some that are just like, okay, I think that becomes the new week one. Then we have a standardized 14. This year, we only have one bye week. Standardized 14-week schedule with two byes, 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I have Allegiant Stadium behind me. That's not an homage to the Raiders. That's where the national championship game is this year on January the 25th, 2027.
Too late.
No, yeah, well, and that's the complaint. The calendar, you don't need all this time off. I mean, the NFL does it every week.
Right.
Teams play in the playoff. We don't need these long layoffs between games. So there's room there to fix. Where I'd like to think we can get a consensus and fix the calendar.
Yeah, that has to be fixed, because the as great as the postseason is in terms of the competition, and the level of viewership was certainly better this year than it was last. Those early playoff games, though, just are not they're not performing. They're not. It's a loss leader for ESPN. They're still having to pawn off the two games with the teams that are non-power four teams, because they have them in, and they pawn them off to Turner as part of a leasing agreement that they have, so they can save some revenue on the lost ratings that they'll have. Now, they still allow for the talent from ESPN and the production team for ESPN to do those games, but they don't want to go up against monster playoff games that the NFL has. We shouldn't have games up against monster playoff games. We shouldn't have games going opposite regular season games. We got to move this thing back so that we complete things by the time we get to New Year's Day, or at least the week of New Year's Day, because that's when the viewership and that's when the public relations end of this. All the focus can be on college football through the month of December and into the holidays to January 1 or January 3 or 4, somewhere in there, so we can finish it where we're accustomed to seeing it finished. And it just makes all the sense in the world, and why we can't get people to understand it. By the way, the players are all there, okay? They're there. They're practicing on their own Or they, you're seeing it downstairs over in Baton Rouge. I say downstairs, I mean down south in Louisiana. Kiffin's basically got a pro thing going where it's OTAs, guys come in, screw the spring game. This is the way we're structuring everything. And I think that's going to become the model. People that don't understand Lane completely, and sometimes I don't understand him either, when it comes to the football operations of the game today, he really understands it. He does. He's doing it the right way. And I think other programs are beginning to see that. That's why there are fewer spring games this year. I think in a couple of years, we won't see any spring games at all, which, again, that purist fans and college towns may not like that, but I think that's the direction that we're going. But bottom line to all of this is we need to finish our season where it's traditionally been finished. That's what we have to protect. And we've lost that. And unless and until we get to a point where that happens, the ratings will suffer in the postseason. And the ratings did suffer until we got to what? The semifinals and finals. All right. And those matchups early in the playoffs, not all of them are bad. Some of them are very good. I mean, some of them are really good. The Georgia Ole Miss game was, that
Oh,
quarterfinal round
classic.
game was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Instant classic, no doubt about it. But we have to have it at a time when more eyeballs are there. And listen, casual football fans still make up that ratings boost that college football gets. And we lose them when we're playing games opposite the NFL.
You
We just
can't beat the
do.
NFL. You and I
No.
already talked about the explosion of ratings in college football. It's never been more watched, but you're never going to beat the NFL. So
No.
just stay out of that
No.
lane. It's
Yeah.
counterproductive to
Yeah.
do that. That's the only lane you have to stay out of, because everything
Yeah.
else you can bully around. You can beat an NBA regular season game. You can beat all the, but you're not going to beat NFL. That's just the one 500-pound gorilla that nobody can slay.
Mike, I say this all the time, and by the way, the new contract is not going to be in play until 32, unless and until they decide to go with 16 teams. Okay, if they go to 16, that's the other thing. They have to at that point structure a new deal. All right, they've got to do that, and I think that's one of the things that also gets in the way of college football's progress in the postseason. As big a juggernaut and as powerful as the worldwide leader is, okay, they're the only ones talking about it in the postseason because Fox is already on to basketball. CBS is gone from it too. NBC is gone from it. So there's no buzz around the sport unless it's from ESPN. And ESPN as well as anybody, they're going to still talk more about the NFL during the day than they're going to talk about college football.
Yes,
That's just what it is.
it is
That
what it
is just
is.
what it is. So, I just signed a new deal with Fox, and I'm going to be around for
Congrats.
3 more years,
Good for
and
you.
I'm really happy about it,
Well
excited
done,
about it.
Fox.
But
Let's
when
give Fox some credit for
I
that.
indeed, they've been a true blessing for me. But when I'm discussing these matters, it's not, trust me, I've got no dog in the hunt. All right. I'll be 73 at the conclusion of my contract. Okay. I just turned 70 last year. I'm happy about that. And when I get to 73, if I feel like I can do it and I haven't slipped, if my game is still there, I might continue to do it. I don't know. But I can tell you now, if this is my last go round, I'm aware of it. I'm thinking about it before I get to the next go round. Okay. But I'm not concerned about opportunities for me. I could care less about opportunities for me when I'm talking about the future of college football on television. I'm not. Okay. I'm not a mouthpiece for any network that I've ever worked for. I am
Right.
a mouthpiece for college football because I love it, and for college basketball because I love it. And the greater good of the sport, in my view, is moving the cal. We should move the calendar, take care of that in many ways before we worry about NIL and the portal. We need to take care of that first and foremost. I think that's a
Yeah.
bigger issue. I
And
do.
it should be the
And
easier one to resolve.
yes, absolutely, it should be the easier one to resolve. And then once we've done that, Mike, I think the love of the sport and the greater good of the sport will be such that now we've got more network entities talking about it, a part of it, And to me, playoff games being subleased is just a joke. It makes no sense to me that any company, any media company would buy something like that, spend all of that money, and then say to themselves, you know what? If we put them all on our network, we're going to get our ass kicked. We might as well sell off some of these games. Huh? How can that makes no sense to me. That should be something that you, it's a crown jewel. You get it? You put, we need to get away from that. And that isn't to take shots at ESPN. It's just a major business point, in my view, that the more company, look at the NFL blueprint on the way they handle it. Can you imagine for one moment, can you imagine at the end of a college football game on, let's say it's on Fox, the end of the Big Ten football game on Fox, Ohio State's playing Michigan. Can you imagine Gus Johnson doing a promo for the game Fowler and Herb Street are going to do in prime time that night? That's what happens on the NFL every week. That
Yeah.
happens on the NFL every week.
And the
So there
NBA
were,
for that matter.
yeah. So we're all in this together. Okay. We're all in this together. College football's never had that. And we really should. You know, we really should.
Let me ask you, because you've hit on something, and I know this is not necessarily the direction you were going, but one of the things many people love about you going back to when you did your talk show, going back to when you did studio, you
Yeah.
have always been a guy who looks out for the so-called little guy,
Yeah.
for the program. It's not only just not a blue blood, but not in a power conference. So we had
Yeah.
two this year, and honestly, they were not very competitive games. I've said I'm all for the one group five getting a shot. I like the
Yeah.
appeal of that. Although I'd really like to see a group five playoff. I think that'd be something that there's a market for that, and it would be good for those schools to get extra cash. But beside that, we had another Sweet 16. We've had two in a row in basketball, not a single mid-major. Upsets all happen early, they don't happen late. In
Right.
college football, a lot of quirky things had to happen to get two group five teams in,
Yeah.
but neither game was competitive. We now, to go back to the subject line that we started the show, the gap between the haves and the have-nots is so mammoth.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
So
it
we
is.
know. We know TV does not have a problem with that, because to go back to one of your points, the brands, the big brands, equal the big ratings. Does it hurt Tim Brando, a guy who's in the shadows of a nice group five school over there in Louisiana, and a guy that has always stood for the Cinderella, so to speak? Do you think college athletics in the sport of football and basketball is taking a hit based on that trend?
I think that the so-called Cinderella, not necessarily Cinderella, but maybe the we can say maybe the blue bloods no longer control the blue blood. It doesn't bother me nearly as much that we have haves and have-nots when I see in Indiana a Power
But they have
Five or
money.
Power Four school. They have money. Yeah,
Right.
they got Big Ten money,
And we can't call
and
them
they
a
got
have not.
donors. Can't call them a have-not, but you know what? They're not a blue blood. And
Correct.
until the week of the Alabama game, I kept telling their fans, "You're going to get your ass kicked." None of them believed me. None of them believed me. And by the way, they did get their ass kicked, did they not?
There's no
So,
doubt about it. 38 to 3, something in that neighborhood.
that has, in my view, from my point of view, that has we've now leveled the playing field. So what the little guy used to be, really is not the same thing. The game has been it's been transformed now. We've moved to another level. It's like Greg Burns said, we don't need an SEC championship game anymore. It's outdated. We've got nine games. We need to do this. I thought that took a lot of courage for Greg to say that.
Do you
I
agree with
don't
him?
know. Yeah, I
Yeah.
do. Maybe not. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen right now.
Yeah.
But I do believe it is eventually going to happen. Yeah, I'm glad to see an athletic director of his ilk. I have a lot of respect for Greg.
Yeah.
Okay, if he says something that I don't like, I'll certainly tell him this was something I
Right.
really did like. And I thought it resonated in the SEC office
It
because he
why I
said
said this
it
too.
resonated.
When the Alabama AD says something, people
It
listen.
matters. Oh,
When a
yeah.
lot of ADs say something, nobody gives a crap.
It
When
matters.
the
Yeah.
Alabama AD does, now some could play devil's advocate and say, well, if you beat up on Georgia the way
Yeah.
Georgia beat up on you in Atlanta,
Right.
would you have the same
Yeah.
take, right? I
Yeah.
mean, we can
Well,
look at that a number of ways.
that's a fan viewpoint. I'm just saying. we have to accept the evolution of the sport.
Right.
All right. And that's part of it. Now, to your point about the FCS schools, what we do there.
The group five, not even FCS. I'm talking group five.
Group of five, I mean. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
That's all right.
The group of five teams getting one spot. I think in order for them to adopt, especially the advancement to 16, the only way they're going to get that done is by allowing a group of five in. That's the only way. And right. that isn't to say that a group of five one day can't get it done. I think, you know, Boise State, I mean, they really had a shot in that Penn State game. They just kind of screwed the pooch. It didn't happen. Right. They were nothing like what Tulane was to Ole Miss, and they were nothing like what James Madison was to Oregon. Okay, yeah. It was a similar. And by the way, those that were taking shots at them, I think it was unfair because the reason why they both got in was because the ACC was screwed up in the way they picked their champion.
Exactly.
Okay, right. Miami should have been in that game, and if they had been, then we wouldn't have had that discussion. Okay,
correct.
So let's get over that just a little bit. But the reality is, if there were a marketplace and we had this cooperation that I was discussing with you, big picture, between the networks, and more than one network had control of the postseason. Okay. And again, it could be CBS, could be NBC, could be Fox, it could be a consortium of all of them. All right. But if we had that kind of cooperation going on with the media, the sports media that's invested in college football, then we could find a way to have a four team or an eight team group of five college football playoff. That might work, and it might actually help those schools. And because people have an insatiable appetite for college football, you know, it could become to college football, right, what the crown for us at Fox has become to the NCAA tournament. That, okay, we got nothing but Power Five teams playing in this thing, and last year Nebraska won it. This year they're a Sweet 16 team. This year, you know, Oklahoma was in it, but West Virginia came out of nowhere, beat them. Maybe what, you know, and then you follow them and you watch them the next year. That can be good for a sport. I think it's been good for college basketball.
Yeah,
I think the NIT is nearing its end. And if anything else, it's just a mid-major only tournament now. All right, Auburn played and won that tournament, but I'm here to tell you, if Stephen Pearl could have kept his roster together, Mike, he wasn't sure he could keep them long enough to. We play the crown the week of the Final Four, and if he had not had any games between the end of the SEC tournament and the start of the Final Four, he wouldn't have been able to keep that roster together. They were all going to hit the portal. They were all, or they were getting ready to go to combines. They were getting ready for Portsmouth. So that's why he played in that tournament, and obviously he won it. But I think that tournament's going to be more about the Tulsas and UABs and schools like that in its future. I really do believe that. But imagine if we had a place for those schools to go. Could it be something that the television people could find a profitable venture? Maybe. But until such time as we get there, and I don't think we're there yet, you're going to have to understand that group of fives are always going to have to be included. Otherwise, you're not going to get a decision in favor of expansion of the playoff.
And there's the threat of a lawsuit.
Yes. Nobody wants to go.
Nobody wants that. So that cloud. For those that are wondering why, you know, such powerful men as Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey would even allow the group, but that is the reason.
That's the reason.
It's the threat of litigation.
Yeah. And they always lose. In litigation,
right.
They always lose.
Yeah. So I don't see that going away anytime soon. Final minutes here with the one and only Tim Brando here on JCN Morgan, powered by Avacare, avacare.com. Promo code Mike Morgan gets you 20% off on any product order today or the rest of the week, for that matter. You mentioned LSU. I know that you are now in a world of calling Big Ten games and calling Big 12 games.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. But I also know you've got deep ties to the SEC and obviously deep ties to the state of Louisiana. So you have to be the least bit intrigued about what's going on.
And Mississippi.
And Mississippi. Mississippi. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this to me is going to be such a fascinating storyline. And let's be honest, if you're not an LSU fan, There's a lot of people just pulling like they've never pulled for anything before to see that train wreck and to watch it, to stop the car, pull over, and watch Lane fail after LSU has – we added it up the other day on the show. If you include getting Will Wade back, which I could have told you in January was going to happen, if you include that, over the last 5 months with football and basketball, paying buyouts, payroll, coaching, coaching staffs, NIL, it's over $200 million in, at LSU in a five-month span. What do you make of all of it? I mean, are you excited to see this iteration of LSU football? Are you a believer in Lane? Do you think this has the potential to be a disaster? Oh, what do you think of all of it?
Oh, I believe in Lane Kiffin. Yeah. Okay, I believe in Lane Kiffin. But and when I say I believe in Lane Kiffin, I believe in every aspect of Lane, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Okay. And from my position as someone that has to be objective in this business, and again, full disclosure, oldest daughter, LSU girl, youngest daughter, Ole Miss grad, living just outside Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Her husband's a plastic surgeon there, and I'm very proud of them and him. And
do we have a promo code for him? Can we get somebody 10% off their next plastic surgery if they go to Hattiesburg?
It is amazing how large that medical community is, by the way, and that the fact that they've got four plastic surgeons in Hattiesburg, and I don't think we have one in Shreveport. That's a killer to me. That blows me away. But anyway, just a copy point I wanted to make there about that profession. Anyway, Mike, for my wife, it's really hard. You know, that third week, it's really hard. But for me, I just get to be amused from afar because I'm out doing another game. But how important to me is that weekend when LSU plays Ole Miss? I've never done this in my years of calling college football. I have never called a coordinating producer and asked for something, you know, in terms of my assignment. But that Friday game between Texas Tech and Houston, I'm gonna make that call this year.
And then watch
that. Yep. That's the game. That's the game I want that week. Not just because I think it's a great game and we'll have more eyeballs, but because I can get back and protect my wife from the furor within the Brando girls' household of Ole Miss and LSU, because I want to see everything about it.
Sure.
I mean, that game probably ought to be treated not just with the first class treatment that game day always brings, but like a Super Bowl. It's like an SEC Super Bowl. And to think that it's as big as all that in a game not involving Alabama, I mean, think about that.
Right.
That's huge for the league.
Yeah, it's
huge.
Question.
It's huge for the league. And with Chambliss back and Ole Miss very quietly in the portal, right behind Lane and being the king of the portal. So they are competing. You know, I give Walker Jones and I give Keith Carter all the credit in the world, man. Those guys grew up fast. When my daughter was in school at Ole Miss, I couldn't get over how cheap everything was, how cheap it was to get a season ticket by comparison to LSU or Alabama or Tennessee or Georgia, okay? Well, it's not that way anymore. You got to pay up. And by the way, the enrollment there has gone from like 14 million to like twice that. Mm-hmm. The enrollment was like 14 million in 2010, 11, 12, 13. It was. That's hard to believe, but it's true. Now, LSU is the big kahuna, and they got all that money coming from wherever Governor Landry is able to make the calls and the money comes in from. And even though I'm from Louisiana, I've never been indicted. I'm nothing more than an unindicted co-conspirator from the state of Louisiana. But, I mean, it's bigger than big. I mean, that to me, the world stops. Even the SEC world, whenever that game is being played, I'm assuming it'll be in prime time.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be in prime time.
ABC.
But the world stops when that game is played, man. I think people will be watching that game from every corner of the country. And I would, and if I happen to be doing a game somewhere on that Saturday, instead of Friday. And I'm making the request. It's going to be the first time I've ever called, but I am going to make the please give me that Friday night game in Lubbock. But that's how big it is, Mike. It's just, it's unbelievable how big it is. And I do think that LSU has a roster. They certainly paid for it. It's good enough to win 10 games regardless. I think they'll win 10 games. And I think that Ole Miss with Chambliss back, provided he stays healthy, that's a team that's going to win 10 games regardless. So just because you lose that game, if you're either one of those schools, doesn't mean you're out of it by any stretch, at least from my viewpoint. But
Well, mine too, which is counter to the old anti-playoff argument. It'll diminish the importance of the regular season. Tell that to the fans watching
yeah,
that game. Oh, it
exactly.
doesn't mean anything, so I really don't care. Yeah, okay, whatever. Carry on.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why the SEC sustains its level. And I say this with all due respect to Sankey and to the people in that office. Even without the championships that the fans covet so richly, okay, the SEC still is the kingpin from a public relations standpoint. It creates more in its offseason to get people ready to go. Part of it is the incestuous nature of the sport. The fact that, you know what, we're going to go get that guy and we're going to get him committed before the season's even over. I mean, what Lane did to Ole Miss, I think it's unconscionable to even consider that he
Only
would have
Lane.
done that. Only Lane. But
Only Lane.
only in the SEC would that happen, too.
Well,
Only in the
probably.
SEC would that happen, Mike. And that's why the SEC is different. That's why when they say it just means more, they're right. I've never disputed that the it just means more thing wasn't legit. I mean, it's always been that way.
Well,
And
it goes.
without that league and my affiliation with it over a 30-year span, I wouldn't be where I am today. So,
Yeah, no, well, you and me both. And look, it's we men typically don't watch soap operas. No offense to somebody tuning in that's like a big All My Children fan, but our drama, in a
Is
lot of
that?
ways, is that like that's our soap opera. It is. It's. It, I remember going to an SEC media days and Phil Fulmer being handed a subpoena because of that Alabama. Like it's just like random. It's only in the SEC, and that's how Paul Feinbaum gets 4 hours of content a day. The other thing I think is interesting too, Chuck Oliver does a great job covering college football in Atlanta. We had him on a couple weeks ago. He's got an interesting take, and I kind of agree with this right now. There's no disputing the Big Ten is on a heater, okay? I could make a strong argument as he does. The SEC is still a deeper league. 1 through 16, but that doesn't mean anything in terms of winning a championship. In
No,
fact, his
right.
point is that actually can hurt you. It's an easier thing to win it, and I'm taking nothing, absolutely nothing away from Indiana. I love the Indiana story. I'm Team
Who wouldn't?
Cignetti.
Who wouldn't?
I
I mean,
absolutely, but it is easier to go through a road where you're not going consistently in front of 85,000 seat venues and deeper schedules and deep. It's the same thing Notre Dame takes to a whole other limit. You look at their schedule this year, it's laughable. They're
It
already in the
is.
playoff next year.
Yeah, it is.
So the SEC is can lay claim every year they're going to do two things. They're going to lead the league probably in total attendance, and they're going to be the deepest. But that doesn't mean that they're going to have a championship a champion. And so the SEC might be deeper the next 5 years. Guess what? The Big Ten could have four out of the next five national champions. We just, there's no advantage to being the deepest league in terms of producing the team that wins it all.
Correct. And by the way, the Big Ten in and of itself, in the time that I've been covering it, I went to Fox in 2014. It's hard to believe, isn't it? I'm about to start my 13th year at Fox.
That is crazy.
It blows me away that I've been there that long now. But we got the Big Ten in 2016. That's when the contract came over to Fox. So I was 2 years in. In that time, I've seen the level of play and players increase exponentially. It's not just Michigan. When I hear a Southern fan, whether it's on a web show or if it's on Paul's show, I only have to play two games. You know, sorry, no, you're not watching. Those other teams are really, really good. Okay. Illinois is really, really good. And by the way, I picked Illinois last year to be the Indiana of 2026. I
Right.
thought Illinois with Altmaier was going to be the difference. And I knew that Mendoza was going to be a step up from Rourke at quarterback. I did. I knew Mendoza was going to enhance Indiana, but I didn't think with some of those guys that he lost from that first year that what was left of that core group from James Madison could pull it off. Well, he got better at every position. Those wide receivers that he had with Mendoza, I mean, those guys were on par. When they were healthy, they were on par with Burrow's team in 19. They were that good. And that's why Indiana made the plays that they needed to make. Not just because not just because Mendoza was that good, but because his receivers were tremendous. Okay. And the run game was a constant that they gouged Alabama the way they did. That was what they were doing to everybody. And until when they blew out Illinois, I want to say that was week three or week four of the regular season last year. That really got my attention because I thought Illinois physically was the better team as long as they were healthy. When that happened, and by the way, Illinois didn't tank it the rest of the year. They still had a good season. But those teams are improving outside of Ann Arbor, Columbus, Ohio, and Champaign-Urbana and Bloomington. There are other teams that are really getting better. The fact that Minnesota can go out and consistently win eight games in a blue state with no real NIL support, I mean, that guy just goes out and wins. He's a hell of a coach. The row the boat guy knows
Yeah,
what he's doing.
no
Nobody's
doubt.
making fun of row the boat anymore. If they could get their state, if he could get his state together, maybe he could even win 10 games. But it's hard to do in a blue state like that. But the bottom line to your point is that the SEC is still going to generate interest in college football and particularly in the offseason in a manner that no other league can.
Yeah.
And I respect the hell out of that. And I find myself as a guy that's not covering the SEC on a regular basis. Like, for instance, I can't tell you now what the Friday schedule is, but I got a pretty good inkling about it. Okay. We know about the Lubbock situation because they made it a story. So we know that the Texas Tech Houston game is going to be a Fox game. But if there's a game out there that I really want to have besides that one this year, it's the Missouri at Kansas game.
Yeah.
Because that now is not just a border rivalry, it's an SEC versus Big 12 game, which adds national intrigue to it. And I know Leipold believes that they screwed the pooch last year, that they're really better than that. And, you know, I don't need to tell you, Missouri's so good. I really like that guy. I like Drinkwitz so much. He's a really good guy to root for.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun game.
He's got a little Spurrier Lane vibe
He
to him.
does. He does. He
He doesn't
does.
care. I think he kind of likes the fact that some people
Yeah.
don't like him. He's pretty
Yeah.
cocky. He's pretty brash. And he's doing things at Missouri that nobody thought he would do when he got
Yeah.
hired.
He uses media and social media probably outside of Lane as well or better than anybody in the country. So, but that's one that kind of jumps out at me. Other games that are out there that I like. But, the more like the SEC other leagues become in terms of promoting themselves, you know, Slive started all that. God bless and God rest his soul because Mike got it. He understood it. Turning the SEC media days into like a movie premiere. Okay. And we're going to put it here. Now we're going to move it around like the NFL moves around draft day. That kind of window dressing other leagues really need to think about. They've always been forward thinking in that area. And it's not just about the commissioner, it's about the people around him. You know, guys like Hussey, guys like Herb Vincent, people have been around that league for a while. They get it, they understand it. And Herb comes from a sports information and PR position. That's always been helpful to them. So that's what kind of makes that league buzz, I think. But it certainly helps when you got a guy like Kiffin. It doesn't
Oh yeah.
matter. It doesn't matter to him who he pisses off. I mean, it really
Exactly.
doesn't. He is the Teflon Don, and we love Teflon Dons in Louisiana. That's why I can tell the fans, Mike, in Louisiana, I can tell them you're going to be the most hated, most vilified team in college football. And they're like,
No doubt.
We love that.
Exactly.
They want that.
Of
They want
course.
that.
It's okay. Somebody's got to wear the black hat, and nobody wears it better than Lane.
Yeah, they think that's another edge they've got over Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's another edge we got because Saban's gone and we've reclaimed. Now they hate us everywhere, just like everybody hated Saban.
Right.
I mean, that's the way they view it. That's
well,
the
and they
view.
Look at it, you know, nobody hates Kalen DeBoer, but Kalen DeBoer is going to be on another hot seat because
Big
they're
time.
Not winning enough. I mean, that's
Big time.
So you'd rather be hated and be winning than be a more likable guy and not passing the smell test, which in Tuscaloosa, as we know, is a very high bar. Last question. We've kind of danced around this a couple of times, and that is scheduling. Pretty much everybody now, I'm assuming the ACC will eventually fall suit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to 9 conference games. With that, the moment that started happening, you started seeing really juicy interconference matchups being canceled.
Right.
One by one by one. You would think with a 12-team playoff, potentially expanded playoff, and knowing that you can lose a couple games and still make it, the coaches would welcome those challenges.
Right.
And those are the games. I mean, like, again, I remember where I was when I watched the Hail Mary by Cordell Stewart in Colorado beating Michigan in the Big House and Miami Notre Dame and all these. I feel like we're going to lose. It's not the fault of the setup. 9 conference games is where it should be. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look like coaches have the appetite. And I'll couple this into the question with a little bit of commentary.
Okay.
It's clear the playoff committee has not gotten the memo about strength of schedule.
No.
And they just, it's oonga moonga. We call it caveman math on the show.
Yeah.
Two
yeah.
losses, more than one. Therefore, one lost team better than two lost team. Oonga moonga.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why are we putting, why are we paying you? And I talked to the Michigan AD, who was the head of it 2 years ago.
Ward Manuel.
I spoke to him. I did the Michigan State this year on national radio.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him, I said, did you enjoy that? Because you took a lot of heat. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, I loved it. I said, did you get paid? He goes, no, they just fly us out there. So you don't get any money out of it. You get, I don't know, exposure. And then you very often you try to explain the unexplainable.
Yeah.
And I think most people look like an idiot. So my question is, seriously, like you're trying to justify stuff that's unjustifiable.
You know, Ward's a Louisiana guy, and I've known him forever. And he went to Michigan, and he's a smart guy. He's been through a lot, especially, I mean, just look what happened with the football program this past year. So he's been through a lot, and he's always survived. He's a sharp guy.
Yeah.
But I've had this conversation with him a lot of times. In fact, I told him, I did the Michigan Northwestern game the next to last week of the season, not last year, but the year before. And I said, listen, I hope you don't mind what I had to say. But what I had to say is just, I don't care who's in your position. You're just in the barrel and you're the one that's got to take the arrows.
Yeah.
And he understood completely. So
it would be an easier position if what they did made a hell of a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately it never does. And then you've got to, you know, play cleanup for the mess that the committee makes. Can we completely remove athletic directors from the committee? They have no business being on there.
Well, it'd be nice. And let me say this to you also, Mike, and I'm going to go back. I'll revert back to our conversation about Petiti, that fans want to put him on one side and Greg on the other. If we, in his plan, what he wants to do, okay, what Tony wants to do by going to 24 teams, is to basically have more bids earned rather than given. So you have to earn it on the field so that, you know, if we have more bids, you know, the automatic qualifying thing is still always a sticking point whenever we start discussing about the playoff and with the committee. What we need to do is to make it easier for the committee so that instead of having to look at this broadly and say, okay, we got to pick 12 teams or we got to pick 16 teams. Let's say that of the 16 teams, you only really have to choose 6. You only have to choose out of 12, you only have to really choose 4 because we got automatic. If you have more automatic bids that are earned on the field during the regular season, then that means you're restoring the regular season. You're making the games that much more important and you're taking some of the subjectivity out of the committee's hands. I don't know how many more, whether it's athletic directors or conference commissioners, we have to have. I'm not convinced that coaches are the be all and end all, that we need more football people, because coaches have bias too.
A hundred
You know,
percent. That's not my solution.
a coach will come in and say, I just saw them in warm up, and boy, they got athletes over there. They're affected by that.
A hundred,
I'm
yeah.
a,
And
I'm
they have
affected by who
biases.
wins. Yeah.
And they have biases.
So,
They like
right.
certain coaches. They're buddies with certain. They don't like certain. Some guy might have screwed them over when didn't
Yeah.
hire them years. I
There's
just want
no
people that cover the sport year round, Tim.
correct. And
That's
people
it.
that have a sense of objectivity. And I think in a lot of ways, we need to know more about the committee members. When we started this thing, even with four, you know, way back in the beginning, when we got rid of the BCS and we put the college football playoff in 2014, I remember talking with Tony Barnhart, a guy you and I both respect.
Oh,
And
yeah.
we both thought that it would be a highly vetted position. If not Condoleezza Rice, somebody like her. If not, you know, we don't know, by and large, we don't know anything about these committee members until they start meeting. I
Yeah.
mean, I used to think that we would be, you know, surveying the resumes of all of them. And we don't do that at
Right.
all anymore. We don't.
No, we don't. And, you know, I always say, like, I have a Heisman vote. I have no problem publicizing or them making it public, so I'm held accountable. So in other words,
Right.
and we know this has happened with the 900 people that actually have a ballot.
Yeah.
Somebody who wants to cook the books to make sure their candidate wins takes the guy that clearly at worst should be second place and puts them completely off the ballot.
Right.
Well, that can happen as well with the playoff committee people who, for whatever reason, might want one team ahead of the other and just
Right.
completely blackballs the
Yep.
team that's fighting for the spot.
Right.
There's just so many things that are wrong with that. Again, I like a committee. I just think it needs to be the right committee, and I don't think we
Yeah.
have that.
And we don't need to have so many. I mean,
Right.
we could cut that thing in half as
You
long
could
as
go to
they're the right
five.
people. Yeah, very easily.
You need five people.
I'm in lockstep with you, pal. I am.
All right. Tim, I can't thank you enough. It's always great when we chop it up. We're not gonna. I mentioned the national championship game is in 9 months. We're not gonna wait 9 months to have you back on. Let's put it that way.
Thanks. Well, I'll be happy to come back as we get closer to the season. Let's
Yes.
do something as we get closer to college football getting started. I'd love to do
Let's
that.
definitely do it. Keep hitting them
Hey,
straight.
I got a blast from the past. You're an old Braves guy. You
Yeah.
love the Bravos.
Sure.
I got an old shot that I was going through my office and I said, oh, I don't have this on my wall. I got to get this on my wall. I've had this for a while. And people forget that I did the Braves for 3 years between
Yeah.
94 and 96. A great time to be doing them, by the way.
No doubt.
How about this blast from the past? Ernie Senior with
Ernie
Timmy V
Senior. Yeah.
on
Look
Sports
at
South back in the
Yeah, look at you. I mean,
day.
that's a good-looking man. That's a
Oh, man.
good-looking what are you like 28 in that picture for crying out
No,
loud?
that would have been 94. That picture was actually taken in 96 because I had the World Series ring on. So I would have been 40 years old. That was
How
30
about
years
that?
ago.
And
That was
living the
30 years
dream.
ago at Sports South. What was
And
once known as Sports South
yes.
before Turner let go of it, before it became Fox Sports South. So
And now it's Braves Vision. So
yeah.
everything continues to
Bye
change.
bye, regional cables. We'll
Bye
see you.
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole other topic of discussion. Tim,
Yeah.
always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
All right. Give my love to JC, will you?
Definitely will. Definitely will.
Okay.
He's here in
All right, buddy.
spirit, as he always
Okay,
is.
buddy. You
The
got it.
great Tim Brando joining us here on another
Peace.
installment of JC and Morgan. Again, we are powered by Advocare, advocare.com. Get yourself a 20% discount promo code Mike Morgan. For our producer, the Bulldog, Bill Mullinex, and for JC on assignment, we'll be back with you next week on another installment of JC and Morgan.